to see you all. Thank you for coming. And don't forget, we're embarking on a special effort tonight. And as already our brother John has told you, it sure would be nice to see a number of the folk around these parts in to hear the gospel and be one for heaven. Now, I want to read four brief readings from the Old Testament. I'll just read what's on the subject. I want to talk about four little things or persons today. 1 Kings chapter 18. These four little things or people are a requirement as we move into a gospel series. So, let's start off now, please, in 1 Kings chapter 18. This has to do with Elijah. Verse 42. We're in Ahab's kingdom. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." We're in a scene of drought here. Verse 44, it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." Verse 45, it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Now notice this passage here, please. Verse 44. "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." Now the previous chapter, please, chapter 17. And in verse number 10, the prophet Elijah is in this town or village called Sarepta. Now, verse 10, the second sentence, he came to the gate of the city. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." Now just read a verse or two down. Do you see the setting? Verse number 12, she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now watch what Elijah says. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go, do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after make for thee and thy son." Now watch verse 14. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." 50. It's the same context as chapter 18. Now look at this verse 13. Make me therefore a little cake first. Verse number 10. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now into 2 Kings, please. And we're going to the next prophet, Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 5. And we'll just read a very brief reading here. Verse number 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Notice verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Here's the end of the story, verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child. He was clean. You see here in verse number 2, a little maid. Now look at chapter 4 now to conclude, please. You see, verse number 8 speaks about Elisha that followed Elijah. And they're in Shunem. Now notice what she says. Verse number 9. She said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. And let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a lampstand. And it shall be when he cometh to us, and he will turn in thither. So verse 10 is the little chamber. All right. I want to introduce the subject this morning this way. Planet Earth, according to the experts, has 7+ billion people. And you and I are included on that today. The United States of America has 300+ million people. The land of the maple leaf, Canada, has 35 million approximately. One of the 10 provinces is British Columbia. And in round figures, we have 5 million people. And so we come to the city of Kamloops. And if the record is right, there are approximately 80,000 people in this area. Now bring that down to this audience. And so, in the big picture, we're very little. We're a feeble folk, as the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs. Now, if God is going to work in this series of gospel preaching, he's going to use the little things. And so I want to talk about a little cloud. And here Elijah recognizes through the little cloud in the shape of a man's hand is an indicator that God is going to work. Now I have written across that little section of the Bible a promise to rely upon. Well, let me just ask you right now. Do you believe that God can save at this particular time, even today? Now, for your encouragement, and we're only into May of this year, 2013. It's the Lord that does the saving. But in his sovereignty, he allows his servants to be links in a chain. And we have had the great honor of being involved in several who have been saved by the grace of God this year. So we're looking and relying on a promise that God is going to work. Now, it'll take the Holy Spirit of God. I can't take the time to tell you, but some cases that the dear people give up on and said they'll never be saved. I was totally amazed to see how God has worked. Now then, I want to think of a little chamber. You see, we're in Shittim. And this great woman of Shittim recognized there's a man of God around here. And she said to her husband, we have a responsibility to provide a little chamber for this man. A place to rest. Now more about that in a minute. So we thank God for a place to rest throughout the hours of the night. I want to deal with a little maid. And it's very interesting. She's a personality to remember. And God has been pleased even this year, apart from any other year, to use personalities in the work of God that the great big world doesn't know anything about. The Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper, doesn't know about any of these people. But God knows. And then I want to finish with a prophet's request. He comes to this city and he comes to a lady that's a widow and he requests a drink of water for refreshment. Now I'll leave all the details out and I'll just focus on what we're going to anticipate in the days ahead. In the will of the Lord. All right. Here's a promise to rely upon. We're 3.5 years in the world at this particular time with no rain. James chapter 5. There's parched country and land. And people are thirsty. And there's no refreshment. Now, the servant of the Lord, the prophet, says to his servant, now you get up there and go and have a look and see if there's any indicator that the rain is coming, refreshment is coming. Now the chapter shows that he went 7 times. Let's suppose we move in here on the 5th time, and he'd come back and he would say to Elijah, what's the use? What's the point? Man, we've been here 5 times, and there's no indicator of any description that there's going to be rain. The prophet would encourage him, and he would say, you keep at it. Came to the 7th time. As he looks out over the sea, he can see a little cloud. See, there was no clouds for 3.5 years. And here's a little cloud in the horizon. Is an indicator that refreshment is coming. Now bring that to the gospel. I'm absolutely aware that salvation is of the Lord. And And if any work is going to be done at this time, it's the Lord that's going to do it. And He's going to use the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to do it. But don't forget, He has allowed His servants to have a little part. Now, there might be somebody in this audience and you're discouraged. You've got to God about a need. As far as salvation is concerned, first of all, with your family. And then with the folk that you know linked with the assembly. And then the folk that are neighbors. And the folk that you work with. And all the rest of it. I've just heard it this past weekend. Well, what's the use? You ever thought of that? I have asked mothers and fathers of their grown children that are far away from God. Have you ever asked them to come to hear the gospel? I heard a mother, she told me there the other day. She says, Dan, what's the use, man? And every excuse in the book. But I want to get that the other side. How about asking them again? In my own case, I remember when I was a teenager, a lady that I didn't think had any interest in what I had, she invited me to hear the gospel. Told me herself afterwards, people said, well, what's the use talking to that boy? He's not interested. But somehow or other, I found myself hearing the gospel. And before that series was out, I was saved by the grace of God. So I'm saying to you, that circle of friends that you know, or some that you don't know, how about asking them again to come to hear the message of the gospel? Maybe you've been reading the Bible recently and you've had a little promise from the Lord. Sow the seed beside all waters, for example, Ecclesiastes 12. We don't know what will prosper, this or that, or both alike together. Now I'll tell you how it works. I'll just take a minute and tell you about a young woman that we never met before in January this year. It was just a few weeks ago. Very intelligent, very competent in her work. She was an ambulance driver. She knew how to handle people and emergencies and all the rest of it. She was driving down one of the roads in a big motor bicycle, maybe too big for her to handle, and somebody came out quickly on her, and before she knew where she was in an accident, and she was lying on the roadside. And she knows herself, with her medical background, that if somebody doesn't get to her, she'll bleed to death. Just lying there, she says to the God of heaven, if I'm raised from this situation, I'm going to seek God's salvation. 31 years of age. The gospel came right to about 15 minutes from where she lives. We didn't know anything about the lady. And from the very first night, I noticed. I said to my preaching partner, there's a girl who's interested. He says, how do you know? I says, she's listening better than anybody in this building. And just in a few days' time, she said to us going out one night, would you men come round and talk to me? We said we'd be happy to do it. We went round and talked to the dear soul. And we found out that she was absolutely interested, deeply interested and concerned about salvation. See the folk that knew her, that went to the gospel hall up the road, they said, man, she's not interested. She's interested in other things. But I want to tell you, we need to be sensitive to recognize that there's somebody and God's working with them. And to cut a long story short, that dear girl was saved by the grace of God. just a few weeks ago. That's how God works. I want to ask you today, brother and sister, father and mother, grandparents, whoever you are, teenagers, do you believe that God can save in this series? And I would have to say, yes, we believe that God is able. Not so much for that. Let me just talk for a minute or two before the time goes on this personality to remember. Her name's not even given, neither her age, her family, nobody knows anything about her. The circumstances, she's found in a foreign country. She's from Israel. But she's in Syria. It's in the news these days. She arrives in this home. Now let me describe the background. And her mistress's husband was a man called Naaman, top man in the country. And it says that the Lord, that's very interesting, gave him ability to win battles for Syria. He was honorable, he was valiant, he was noble, he was rich, and all the pluses. But he was a leper. Now watch. This young maid, this little maid, was in close quarters to him. And I'm going to suggest to you, she was horrified. Why? Well, in the land of Israel, anybody that was a leper was outside the camp. And they had to cry, unclean, unclean. Leviticus chapter 13. But now she's looking at him, eating at the same table maybe, moving in the same house, maybe been embraced by him. She's horrified. See, leprosy was a very infectious disease. But she watches him, and she watches him, and now she's concerned. It's tremendous. To think away the circumstances of life, and God brings us into circumstances to be close with people, and sometimes we're horrified for their background and all that, but we learn this, we have a concern for their soul. That's what she had. This day, she picks up courage. And what was appropriate, she said to her mistress, would that my master, would to God that my master was down there in the land of Israel where I come from, and the prophet of the Lord, which is Elisha, would help him. Now watch. According to Luke chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ said, there wasn't a leper in the Old Testament that was healed. If there was, it's not recorded. So she never saw a leper healed. Now I must admit that Miriam was a leprous female, Numbers 12, and she was healed. Understand that? Here's a dear little maid. I tell you, she's a personality to remember because she had faith. Now, I won't go through all the steps of the story, but I see the day when Naaman is prepared to do what God says. Where did it start? Well, it started with a little maid. And he goes to that old muddy Jordan and he dips himself all those times in the water. And this answers to the servant that's going seven times to see if God's going to work. You see, he could have turned around and said, well, what's the use of me getting into this old dirty river? I'm down here six times and nothing has happened to me. But he did exactly what he was told. And on the seventh time, when he went down under the waters and came up, his flesh was just like a little child, and he was healed. See, that's an illustration of how a soul can be saved. Coming up as the flesh of a little child answers to the new birth. That's Nicodemus in John 3. Ye must be born again. And how he was born again, he took God at his word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the story goes that Naaman went back to his own country, and the passage shows that he had a knowledge of the true God. Now, I'm watching him coming through the front door. I'm just building a back road. And he would see his wife, and he would say to her, likely, thank you very, very much for telling me about the true God of Israel. His wife would say, really, Naaman, don't thank me. Thank the little maid. If she hadn't have told me, I could never have told you. What a compensation. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but maybe they embraced. He's a new man, a new creature. The man that was healed, his partner, and the little maid. Now, from a human standpoint, had the little girl not told what she knew, do you think that Naaman would have been in the River Jordan? You see, it was God that cleansed the dear man. But he had to be directed. We're back to the same thing. Salvation's of the Lord. Who do you think the Lord uses? He might use even somebody here today that's a little child to bring their folk or their grandparents to hear the gospel, and they can be gloriously saved. I have seen that again and again in our service. A personality to remember. So you have your responsibility, and I have mine. What a compensation if at the end of the day we arrive in heaven and you say to someone else, thank you for taking an interest in me. For from a human standpoint, I never would be here. I'd like to ask some of you folk, have you ever had the unspeakable joy of being a link in the chain of a soul been saved? Somebody says, I never have. What I want to tell you from experience, we give the Lord all the glory for every soul that has been saved and gathered to his precious name. And it's a joy, it's a thrill to be used of God in all sincerity and humility to preach the gospel one-on-one or publicly to see somebody won for heaven. That dear girl I was telling you about, the day before we left and got on a plane to come to Vancouver, she said to me, Stan, thank you very much for telling me about the gospel and for taking a personal interest in me and explaining to me how I could be saved. And by the grace of God, I'm going to go on for him. I hope that's the case here at this particular time. All right. Here's the way it works in another sense. You see, this man, Elijah, in this drought of 3.5 years, he was thirsty. And he met this widow, and he asked for a drink. A little water for refreshment. And man's only human. Ah, said the lady that he asked, well, I have nothing to give you. This is paraphrasing the passage. Oh. She says, I have just two sticks here. And I'm going to take this little meal that I have and make a cake for myself and my son. I'm going to eat it and then I'm going to die. Mind you, that's down low. Now watch. The prophet said to her, well, make me a little cake first. Now you could turn around and say, that's very, very selfish of a man of God, a prophet of the Lord, to ask for a cake and the dear lady starving and her son's about to die. That's not much nice. That's not very good. But you see, this is how God works. And the prophet said to her, do you see that cruse of oil there and that barrel of meal? As long as there's drought in this country, you will have meal and you will have oil. Thus saith the God, the Lord God of Israel. Now what did the widow do? She got to turn around and said, you must be joking, forget that. She was simple enough to do exactly what God said through his servant. I can see her making the first cake. She'd say to herself, I thought there was only a little meal in that. And it was just a very small piece of oil in that crew, in that cruise. But whenever she had made the cake and given it to the man of God, she says, man, I can't believe it. There's meal in here and there's oil in here. And every day that she rose in the morning or went to bed at night, exactly the same. See, that's God. The man needed to be refreshed, but she's learning lessons. I want to just bring out one simple thing here. Father John talked about it there this morning. Now, how's our priorities in life? People say to me all the time, Stan, I'm so busy, man. I haven't time to get involved in the work of God. And I haven't time to read the Bible. I'm talking about believers in assembly fellowship. Do you not know that I have two jobs to maintain my standard of living, blah, 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 and so on and so on? And I always say to them, welcome to the club. And they look at you. I told a lady here just recently in Vancouver. I said, lady, I know exactly what you're coming through. I said, my wife and I arrived in Canada 41 years ago. And we're not ashamed to tell you, a wife and three little children, and we hadn't a dime. And we didn't know where we were going or anything. And then you ask him, do you think we survived? Absolutely. Why? Well, in some measure, we put the Lord first. Would you like to do that today and the weeks that lie ahead in the will of God? Yeah, we have legitimate things, certainly. We have responsibilities to fulfill. And we have to pay our bills and all the rest of it. But I want to tell you, where there's a will, there's a way. And we have found out in our short service that those that honor the Lord Jesus, God will honor them. Right. For you folk that are younger, let me just tell you this before we go to the next point, before the time's up. I met this young believer recently in the U.S. and a lot of pluses in the assembly. Don't come during the week. Forget it. I'll come on the Lord's Day and that's it. And the conversation went somewhere like this. Well, you know, the competition in 2013 is tremendous. And if I'm going to make it in the academic world, university, college, or whatever, I have to study day and night. Fair enough. So I said to her, your girl, and we're good friends. Don't get me wrong. I said to her, listen, dear, how about proving the Lord in this? How about giving him one night a week? I would suggest, if you do that, you mightn't have to study as long. Quarter of the Bible, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I said to her, just try me on for size, and if I'm wrong, come back and tell me. Sometime over again, she says, I gotta admit now, what you said is right. Now let me talk to the brethren for a minute. I learned years ago, in our first year of married life, I remember one night, I was doing a project that it was a paint job. And I said to my wife, you go to the meeting tonight and I'll finish this off. She went to the meeting and I painted away. Whenever she come home, she says, that looks terrible looking. That's the wrong shade. That's a mess. I just wasted my time. But very simple. Had I put the Lord first and went to the meeting alone with her, you might have been able to get him a better job. Better start all over again. That's the way it works. I'm real here today. This is where the rubber meets the road. No point talking about something that we don't understand. This is where it is. This is the work of God. Now let me just spend a minute now on the vessel. See, the Lord can use anybody. The preaching fraternity don't have to be a special people. They have to be sinners saved by grace and have ability in the work that God has called them to do and a life to back it up. Right. Now, here's a lady. She lived in Shurim. She said to her husband, see this man that's coming by here? He's a man of God. You know what? We have a responsibility toward that man. She says, I want to build a little chamber for him, a little room. And notice the four things that are in it. It's not one of the super furnished places. A table, a stool, a bed, and a light. Basic needs to survive. When they arrived, when the little chamber was completed, and the four articles by the man of God. She said to him, Elisha, here's a wee place for you, sir. There's a bed to lie down on. There's a table to eat at. There's a stool to sit on. And there's a light to show you the way. Basic. Simple. To the point. I want to put a plug in here for the sisters. I got to say in all humility today, I have stayed in thousands of homes and slept in all kinds of conditions. And people say, how do you sleep in somebody else's bed? Sleep like a baby. I know preachers that can't sleep out of their own bed. They have to come home every night. Well, the Lord bless them. Somebody says, well, how can you do that? Well, I'll tell you. I was raised in the mission field. I can remember my folk had nothing during World War II. Where'd I sleep? I was the younger son. I slept on a hammock. You ever sleep on a hammock? And I want to tell you, if you can sleep on a hammock, you can sleep anywhere. Elisha was very appreciative of everything that was done for him. And so, we can't carry on the work of God without our sisters. Did ever you see an assembly with no sisters that's prospering? We appreciate the brethren, but our sisters have a function to show hospitality that brethren can't do. You know, brethren, can you make a meal? I was in a place here not too long ago and your sister was in the hospital and the brother said to me, you come and stay with us? Absolutely. He says, what are we going to do for meals? I said, we'll get through, man. We have got brethren, and this is not a criticism, it's a fact of life. They can't boil water without burning it. Haven't a clue. You see, we need our sisters. And I want to put a plug in here for hospitality. Thank God, in a world of selfishness and all the rest of it. And we have found in our service, 56 years on the way to heaven, we share with others what God has given to us. And the servant of the Lord should be thankful and appreciative of everything that's done for him. I'll tell you, this is on record. One of the great preachers 150 years ago, John Nelson Darby, gathered out from the Church of Ireland, and he gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And he's going in to remember the Lord this morning, and this widow said to him, down there in Southern Ireland, in Dublin area, will you come home for lunch with me? He says, I will. Well, she says, all you're getting is one potato and salt. That's it. He was a big man, if you knew his background. And when the meeting was over, here's another lady and a gentry. Big house, big home, plenty of funds and all the rest of it, and said to him, now, Brother John Nelson, will you come home to us for lunch? He says, I was tempted to say yes, but he said no. Because a widow woman has offered me a potato, one potato and a bit of salt, and a glass of water. I'm going to spend it with her. He learned lessons from all these things. Right. A personality to remember, the little maid. A promise to rely upon, a little cloud. A little chamber, a place to rest. And a little water, a request from a prophet. 12:30, time to stop. The Lord help us. Remember what we sing? Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. 12:30, let us pray.